Call to order. Purpose of our special meeting is to provide an informational session about the upcoming expansion and renovation of the town hall, police and fire buildings, and construction of a new fire station. Notice of the meeting was posted at town hall and on the website on August 7th, 2017. May I have a motion to excuse Mayor Swearingen, please?
Make a motion to excuse the mayor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we're going to go through a presentation on what is happening with the new construction for our town. I want to set up one type of guiding rule, and that is questions. If you have a question on what is being presented, I would like you to raise your hand, state your name, state your address, and state your question. We will log your question so we don't lose any of the questions, but we're going to keep going through the proposal, and I think we will answer a lot of those questions. And the ones we do not answer, we will certainly cover in the questions and answers at the end. Okay? All right, if we can get started then, Jim?
Welcome everybody. We really appreciate you being here. And this is about the biggest bite of the apple the town has ever taken up till now at a single bite. We've had big projects, sewer projects and things like that, but that's been spread out over some time. Just to bring everybody up to date that may have forgotten or hasn't been here, this basically, the new fire station, which we still don't have, started about 15 years ago. The hallway that's at the other end of this complex was phase one of a proposed three-phase project. The first phase was the hallway that's at the other end of the building. The second phase was supposed to be the council chambers moving over to that side of the building to be attached to that hallway. And the third phase was supposed to be the fire station in the location that it is presently going. After we completed the first phase of the hallway, we started our sewer project, so we didn't have the funding available to continue with multiple projects, so it got put off to the side. And then over the years, especially with the hurricanes and everything that came through, it always came up as a matter of discussion, but we were never able to do it. And this year, or at our last year's retreat, the subject came up. We gave it serious consideration, got input from all the department heads and a number of other people that were involved, and decided that if it was at all possible, this was what we were going to do. And because of the fact that, we might as well start. And what I'm going to do is break down the different sections. We've got town hall that's going to be renovated. We've got the police station that's going to be renovated. And we've got the fire station that's going to be moved and a new structure put on the other side of the building. So we'll go through each of those separately and explain how it's supposed to all fit together. As far as the timeline, in February, we had a concept designed for the plan and added office space and renovation for the police station to occupy some of the old fire department buildings, or portion of the building, and also the additional space in town hall. And one of the main reasons that we added town hall and the police department is because of the age of the buildings. You're sitting in a structure that was built in 1991. And the police station was built in 1996. The town hall excuse me, the police station was built for around $86,000 because we used volunteer labor and a volunteer contractor who helped us out. And as we do with a lot of things in Cary Beach, we got a lot of help, got a lot of people together and went ahead and did it. That was the same way with the way the fire station was built. It was built with volunteer help and labor and materials offered from various people. The town hall, was that built the same way, Chief?
No.
So that was a regular
contracted.
And all of the structures still have their original roof. And for those of you that have been lifelong residents, you know how many tropical storms and hurricanes that we've been through since 1990. I checked, and if you count tropical storms, nor'easters, and hurricanes, it's been 88 named events that we may not have been directly affected, but this portion of the course was affected in. And so we're dealing with structures that have been significantly worn down over the years, and we're starting to reach that point. Everybody knows who's ever sold an old house. You're reaching that point where you got to seriously consider whether the money you continue to put in it is worth the return that you're going to get from it. And we all felt that this was the time, if it was going to be done, we needed to seriously look at a very extensive upgrade, if not a whole new construction. Can you
scroll forward?
Yeah.
Do you have the controls? There you
go. Oh, so.
Oh, Nancy, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
This is basically the concept of the overall layout. This is the structure as it exists now, with the addition of new areas. This is where the fire station will exist. The fire station will have an entrance going out up to K Avenue. The exterior improvements that we're going to have is, rather than the one entrance and exit right here where we have it, we're going to have an entrance and an exit so that you have a pattern, a traffic flow pattern. There will be a total of 86, I think it is, parking spaces, which is an addition of 32, I think, from the number of parking spaces that we have now. So we'll have parking spaces located along the front where they are now, have parking spaces that are located on the other side of the parking lot facing the street, parking spaces where they also are now over the side, more parking spaces alongside the fire station, and parking spaces located in the back. So there'll be a significant increase in the number of parking spaces that we have available to us. This is a lot clearer. So you can see the fire department here. The dark color is the existing building. The light color is the additional area that we plan on building up. Can we get the fire station, Nancy? This is the exterior of the fire station. The architect firm that we contracted with has made their exterior motif to match the oceanfront park. So that what we're trying to do is get all of our buildings to at least be similar in outward style. This is the walk-in entrance to the fire station, which will be facing this side. And this is the apparatus doors that will be facing on K Avenue. The roof will be metal. The outside exterior will be hardy plank. And obviously, one story. we started out with a two-story structure because this is a reasonably small footprint. And we had to throw out the second story because of the increased cost that it had put in. We felt that it was going to be very cost prohibitive if we added the second story. So we did some sacrificing and moving locations around for different rooms that were located in the station, and ended up with what you're going to see in a minute. Please, after I get done with my description, please, after the meeting, feel free to take a look at the schematics.
It is on the handout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is on the handout.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's in your paper packet. So I just missed it in the last page. The last page was in your paper packet. Yes. It's the last big one in your paper packet.
That's it.
First off, as far as the need for the fire station, when the fire station was built, there were no full-time firemen. We had between 30 and 40 volunteer firemen. So the station, when it was built, wasn't built to maintain people working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As a consequence, what we have, for those of you that have not ever been in there, we have five bays for vehicles to be in. That's the main function of the fire station, is to house the vehicles. And then we have one, I'll say large room, because it's the largest room in the fire station, but it's a relatively small room. That room, that single room, serves the function of kitchen, eating area, the room that we train in, the meeting room, the equipment room, and the small maintenance room. So we basically could have, in the evening with somebody off duty, you could have somebody watching television, another person cooking dinner, and another person doing something at the dining room table, and all of them being able to reach out and touch each other. That we had about 7-8 years ago, we took and renovated a small portion of the fire station when we started to hire full-time people to make a bunk room, and we had to use one of the extra offices that we had to make the bunk room. And we added two offices onto it for about 300 square feet for two offices and an office. So what we have now is, well, in 90, we had four bays that contained two engines and a service van. And we had a storage shed that's along the backside of the fire station. And then, as I said, we had our kitchen, day room, training room, meeting room, watch room, slash everything room. And that also was the building that we used for command post during all of the hurricanes. So everybody got to know each other very, very well when we were in that room. And we were always touching somebody. Hope they were a friend anyway. And we had a full bathroom and a half bathroom that was supposed to be used by the firefighters and also for the public. Now what we have is 8 full-time people, 6 part-time people, and 43 volunteers. So we have people that are staffing the station 24 hours a day, anywhere from 2 to 4 people, depending on the time of day and the availability of paid staff and backed up by the volunteers whenever they're on our run. Plus, we have our meetings in there every month. It's extremely, extremely cramped. Like I said, the roof is original roof. The AC unit is original AC unit. The wiring is original. Even the ice machine. And it also is the only ice machine in town. Free, anyway. All right, so what we planned on doing was having the four bays, which because of the tight area that we're in, is even enough room to contain all of our equipment. So we will retain a number of the bays of our existing fire station. So one of those bays is going to contain all of the lifeguard equipment. And that fills up one whole bay with all the ATVs and all the lifeguard equipment and everything else that's involved with the lifeguard program. We also have a service vehicle that is not able to fit into the station. The station will then house two full fire trucks, a brush truck, a beach slash emergency vehicle that we make our squad runs in, and we have a boat and a jet ski. So, and the boat and the jet ski now are out in the weather and not under the roof because there's no room to put them in. We will also be adding to ours an exercise room. The police department now contains an exercise room. And our firemen go over there to exercise and everything. We felt that having an upgraded and a newer exercise room would benefit all the town employees. So switching the equipment and everything over to the fire station, and the police department will have extra square footage to use for their own other purposes. So we're adding an exercise room to there. We are required to have the building sprinkled. Our fire station is not sprinkled. It's grandfathered. So it is a requirement. But a new station, it is a requirement to be sprinkled. We have no exhaust system that exhausts the fumes from our engines that would lead to what carcinogen being put in the atmosphere for the firemen to breathe. It's also a requirement if we had two stories, you're not allowed to have a living area over the apparatus floor because of the diesel fumes and everything moving upstairs. So we're going to have to add, it hasn't been determined yet, but we're going to have to add some type of ventilation system for the vehicles. Another requirement, or not a requirement, but a recommendation, is the turnout gear, the fire gear that the firemen wear. Basically, after they come back from a fire, it's loaded with hazardous materials. And we have purchased a heavy-duty washer and dryer so that we can frequently wash their gear, but they also should be stored in a separate room away from the apparatus floor and away from the living quarters. So that's why we've had to add other rooms. So there's a lot of the smaller rooms that would have gone into a two-story that we've had to throw away in order to keep the very essential and mandatory items that we would need to continue to safely function as a fire department. This also will continue to be our command post for any emergency incidents that we have. So this is going to be wired to handle the extra electronic equipment or something like that that may be involved in any medical or medical, or whether emergency or or any other type of emergency. Our maintenance, because of the small size, our maintenance will continue to be handled in the older building. We will retain one of our bays with our maintenance equipment in it so that we can do maintenance on the vehicle. So we'll take a vehicle from there that needs oil change or something and take it over to the old station and handle that there and keep all of our ready apparatus here at this station. We are adding a training room so that we can conduct training, and people who are not going to the training can enjoy themselves watching television or something in the evening, which they can't do now because all of our activities take place in one room. We now also have a fire inspector who's undergoing training right now, so there's an office added to the building for the new fire inspector. We have requirements not only in the fire station, but particularly in town hall. We have federal and state requirements as far as keeping printed material and even electronic material for practically forever. Some of them. So the storage space that we used to need in the 90s has been doubled. That's one of the significant problems with Town Hall, the requirement, legal requirements for keeping paperwork is really overrunning the amount of space that we have available.
Jim, I think you have a question back there with Albert, or with Gilbert.
I don't want to interrupt you, Jim, but I do have to ask.
Well, I was just going to ask if anybody had questions. Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me talk. Gilbert Alton, Jerry Beach, volunteer fireman, 1981. You said fire inspector. Are we getting another department head or another employee? Is it specific? Because the fire inspector, I see him once a year. What, could you elaborate more on the fire inspector?
We have one of our lieutenants who's at the end stages of the state certification for fire inspector.
He's also a fireman too, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's doing a dual role.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to clarify that because I couldn't see somebody sitting in an office that only inspects my house or business once a year.
No. This is a regular full-time firefighter.
Okay.
We've got Gilbert who asked a question. Does anybody else have questions pertaining to the fire station? Yes, sir.
You say the storage has to be maintained at that site. It can't be stored somewhere else at a cheaper cost.
We haven't found. Well,
what storage are you talking about, sir?
All the storage of the documents.
Paperwork.
The federal government requires us to keep. It takes up all the space. You can rent space relatively cheap off site.
So some is required to be on site, and we do maintain some storage off site. Yes, sir. So we do send some stuff off site, but there are requirements for the town to have access to town records if the public comes and requests them. One of the answers can't be, oh, well, sorry, it's in Raleigh. It'll be 3 weeks. So to meet some of the public Freedom of Information Act requirements, there are some requirements that are required to be on site. That's correct, yes, sir.
My name is Bob Houston.
Yes, sir, Mr. Houston.
Curry Beach.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, sir. Okay. Sorry.
Anything else on the fire station? Yes, sir.
I'm Taylor Jones, 214 North 3rd Avenue. I call myself a recycled Curry Beach resident. Mm-hmm. I was a resident back in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Back then, we were, I think, the year-round total or year-round residents were only about 300, and I think we've got, 10 times, even 20 times that now? I don't know what the year.
About 2,300.
2,300?
About 2,300.
So essentially, we've grown incredibly, so I'm impressed that we are continuing to be able to advance and grow our facilities for our services that are needed down here. That's not going to stop. The growth is not going to stop on this island. One would think we're just going to sink this island. with the growth that we've got going, but we're going to continue to grow. I understand that we are limiting it to a single level structure. Is the design also capable for maybe down the line in the future, if we have to or if we have a need for expansion even further, that we can then add that second layer? I know we're keeping the one layer for a funding issue now, but is there potential ability to grow on top of that?
That hasn't been discussed, which brings up a good point. You have come to a meeting in the middle of a process. We are not done with the process. Normally, this meeting would be held when we had a reasonable idea of what the costs were going to be, fairly close to what the costs were going to be. We have not talked to a contractor yet. We have an architect on board, and we have
project manager
on board, who is our eyes and ears and takes a look at what's going on between the architect and the different contractors and everything in order to see that things are going the way that they're supposed to go. So those are the two items that we do have in place right now. Other than that, everything is still able to be changed. We'll be letting contracts within the next month for general contractors to bid on the job, and we'll see what we get. We'll see what kind of prices we get from them. There's really so much of it that is really unknown at the present time. We know what the buildings are going to be like, and that's the main thrust of this meeting. And there'll be some general ballpark figures that we're reasonably aware of. But as far as getting really down tight to it, we just aren't that far along yet. Take message. I'll follow the message.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, my name is Deepa. The only thing that I would suggest is, if we have the potential to go up at a later point, that we will also ask, you're saying no, I see your head.
I was saying no to someone else, keep going, but as an engineer, I'll say no to that as well. So as we went through the process, the council basically, after discussions with the architect, recognizing there's only so much that the town's willing to support, right? So the council talked very much in depth about how much do we feel is the right amount for us to spend. And that eliminated the second level. As an engineer, I'll tell you, they're not going to build this building where you can take the top off and put it back on for as the amount that we want to spend.
Okay, and I understand.
To build it that way, you'd have to spend a lot more money.
Okay, and I understand that. All I'm asking, is there a potential to build the lower structure or add to the structure so that gives you the opportunity to build at a later point in time?
And I'm
not an engineer, but I know that you can structurally.
That's what I'm saying. For the amount that we directed the design team to go after, that would not happen. And our plan is, which is in the literature, this should, just like this town hall that we built in the early 90s did us for 25 years, right? If I did the math right, maybe I didn't do that right, but something like that, 25 years. We expect this next expansion to fulfill the town's needs for 25 years. That's after working very closely with all. Well, I'll still be here. Well, I plan to still be here, I hope. But, I know my kids will be, but the plan, as we plan, the council worked very closely with all our department heads, and our challenge to them was, what will you need for 25 years?
Okay.
And that's the design criteria.
I have no issues with the design.
Correct.
I'm just asking, should there be a need within the next 10 years, can we structurally prepare it for an add-on above that will be cheaper than trying to retrofit it later on?
Right. And from what we told the design team we were willing to spend, we set a cap and they designed to the cap. They're not going to be able to do that.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
And if you build a building to build onto the second story, you're doing 25 or 30% of the second story to do that.
Okay.
That's the issue, right?
Okay, thank you.
It's a good question, but that's why we talk about it that way. And I would say, Jim's doing a great job, but I'd like to add that council has talked about this for a very long time. Previous councils, before I got back on. So when I was on in the early 2000s, it came up as an initial issue, right? So back then, the town hall was 10 years old, roughly 10, 12 years old. I got off for a number of years. Multiple councils discussed this issue. It got tabled after 2006. When I came back on the last time, there was a full-blown plan of what to do that nothing had happened with. And when we started talking, as we move forward, multiple department heads brought to the council issues that they were having meeting the requirements of the town. So as an example, the town clerk, Nancy, pointed out that the office she's now in at one time was the town council's meeting chambers. That's gone. We don't have that anymore. We meet in here, or she gets booted out of her office and we meet. To meet the requirements of paperwork, council showed the town staff showed council, and they took us on a tour of the building, that we're upstairs in the attic where we really aren't meeting all the requirements for storage for paperwork for the town right now. But that's where we're doing it, right? And we talked, could we just fix that? So we went in for a number of months, talked about, well, what can we do to fix all these little issues that everyone's having? The previous police chief brought to council that, hey, my evidence room is so small that I'm in jeopardy of jeopardizing cases if we get a large bit of evidence for the town. You can see that some of the bikes that are taken by the police department are not kept inside anymore. They're in a corral out there, which if they're stolen bikes, then become a problem if they try to prosecute someone for those bikes. So that was the police department's issue. The fire department's issue was similar. They worked together to fix it a little bit when we went to a paid staff, which I would remind all the citizens actually helped us on our fire insurance premiums when we did that, because it kept the response time down, allowed us to lower our rating with the state government, which helped us on our fire insurance. So that was in the mid-2000s. But all these issues have kept coming before council, and at our retreat in 2016, what I don't think Jim talked about enough, and what I want to make sure the public hears, is all of the council and all the department heads at that point said, okay, we have probably reached the point that we have to do something significant. And we started down that path. So that was in February of 2016, where council first off challenged the department heads, tell us exactly all the requirements we're not meeting and how you would say to meet them. That was step one. And then step two was, tell us what we would need for 25 years, because that's what we should design to. If we're going to invest in a huge building, we should make it last 25 years, just like we did the last ones, right? And so that happened in the summer of 2016. We got an architectural firm involved. The architectural firm met with all the department heads by themselves to talk about issues and requirements. Their first pass was a two-story fire department. That was a huge expenditure, way beyond what anyone on council was comfortable with. And that's when we started paring things down. And so we went back to the architectural firm and said, we're not comfortable with that. We don't feel we can support that from what we know it will cost, so please tell us options. And we started paring things out. And so that's how we got to where we are now. And I think this meeting was driven not because it's required, because it's not, but because a citizen, Gilbert, pointed out to council, you guys haven't communicated this very well, right? In fact, we've gotten multiple emails from him saying, you know, which I appreciate, because I think that's what the citizens should do, that, hey, council, you haven't really done your job of telling the community what you're looking at, what our challenges are. One of the responses I would say to all of you guys, if you're feeling like you didn't know anything, is we try to put a bunch of information out on our website, on our emails, and everything else. We haven't, like, been working on this off to the side somewhere. This has came up in multiple meetings. It's came up in our budget hearings. It's came up pretty much from our view sitting up here where you're living it all the time, all over the place. But I can understand that there are citizens that feel like this is a surprise. If you come to town hall and talk to our staff, if you walk around and see how the town operates, you can recognize that it's a challenge to serve all the needs of the public. The number of people that the town services from the early 90s to now has definitely doubled in the wintertime. It's more than doubled in the wintertime, I think. But in the summertime, it has drastically increased. And you can sit here and watch in town hall people come in and out on a Tuesday morning like I do whenever I cannot travel for work. Or you can go over to the police department and see what happens, or talk to our police chief or our fire chief about these are the challenges we're dealing with to meet the needs of the public. So, sorry I got off a little bit, Jim, but I did want to say that planning for 25 years is a complicated process, and meeting the requirements that have changed since the mid-90s is an expensive process. The federal and state governments, the requirements that town halls and fire departments and police departments have to meet now compared to what we built for in the early 90s are drastically different. If you don't feel that in your own home, I encourage you to come to my house, which was built to the 80s building code, and then go to a house that John Basson inspected yesterday, and it's a lot different than what's built. The same thing happens in our world, right? The same thing happens in the town's buildings world. So these buildings are expensive. We're going to talk about money next, so I'm kind of previewing for Jim. Part of what drives the cost is the federal and state government requirements to the town. You know, we would love to be able to get a bunch of volunteers together and build another building and just move on, because it's a lot easier from our standpoint up here talking to you guys about it. And really, it's a lot more fun because you don't have to deal with all the stuff that you have to deal with now. But that's not what the towns are allowed to do anymore. The building inspector can tell you the requirements he's going to put on, and he's not making them up just to make them up. That's what the state tells him to do. He's going to definitely do that. The fire chief can tell you what the NFPA rules are going to require for the fire department. The police chief can tell you the rules that the state and federal governments are going to require for any space he occupies. And a lot of those are driven by what's changed since then. So a police department that we build over there now does not meet all the safety requirements for the police department anymore. And when we build one, we got to meet those requirements. So I understand it's very expensive when you see the numbers. When we first saw them, we didn't like them either. But I'll give him the bad task of showing them to you now. So I think that's where we are.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes, sir. And I'll show up again.
Just to add, finance-wise, what David said, the stuff, the loaf of bread that you bought 10 years ago is a lot more expensive than it is now, and it's going to be even more expensive in 10 more years. This place, if we were to just say, let's go home, this is okay, we can make everything that we've got here work, we can. But when it goes bad, it's probably all going to go bad at the same time, and then we're going to have to come up with an alternative. And the alternative, I'm going to guarantee, is going to be a lot more zeros to it than we're going to end up with this one. So, but back to the pictures. This is the front of the new town hall. The large portion to the right will be the new council chambers. Council chambers will be approximately double in square footage. At the back of the council chambers will be the conference room that council would get back after stolen by our town clerk. Because basically, when we go into closed session, or when a committee is having a meeting in here and there needs to be another meeting, we kick somebody out of their office in order to be able to sit down and have a meeting. And some of our staff get tested. Again, the outside facade of the building hopefully will match all of the other town hall structures, all the other structures in town, with the exception of public works, which all our money is going into the new sewer project, public works and the pump. Okay. All right, this is town hall. Got the new council chambers over here to the right. It is basically set up the way the town hall is now, like you saw the other section with the two different colors, there's an outside area where rooms have been enlarged or added. For example, over here is the building inspector's offices right now. The building inspector will be moving to offices that will be added on to the building on the other side, and they will be put on the outside so that he can have builders and contractors and other people come back and forth without having to trek to town hall. The recreation office, which is an addition that we had just in the last couple of years. We never had one before. That's also located on the outside edge, outside ring, so that we can have people coming back and forth without disturbing the day-to-day operations of town hall staff. There will be, besides the conference rooms, we've had to add more vault space, because not only is the material required to be kept here, it's required to be kept here under certain conditions, fireproof and all the rest of that. Nothing in this building is fireproof. The best fire protection for this building is the fact that we now have paid firemen at the fire station. So this outside edge, like I said before, this whole total outside edge here and the extension of the town hall buildings are going to be added to it, and the rest of it, everything is going to be renovated. If you want to, on your way out, just look at this building, look at the windows particularly. There's very few of the windows that don't leak in a heavy storm. The air conditioning unit that's located in here is still legally called an air conditioning unit, but we've got an air conditioning repairman that's on speed dial, and he's here frequently enough to be considered a part-time employee, and that's going to be part of the major renovation cost, is the fact that the heating and AC is going to have to be changed totally out in both police and town hall spaces. We started out in 1991, we had four people working in town hall. That was the full staff for town hall. We're now up to eight people with one part-time. And there's still the stuff that doesn't get done. And trust me, it's not because they're asleep at their desk. Is it? For example, when I moved here in 95, the police station was in this building. The police station was two offices. One of the offices that the building inspector has, and the other office is Manny's office. It used to be the chief's office. So what the police department is in now is a relative Taj Mahal compared to what they were in before, which was basically two rooms. Anybody have any questions on the town hall complex? The main reason for fixing up town hall is because of the seriously dilapidated outside portion of the structure, need to replace the mechanical, and the need to come up with secure storage space and additional office space for people that are doing work here every day. Yes, sir.
I'm David Sack, 720 North Port Fisher Boulevard. I guess maybe I feel like I've been penalized tonight. I came to a meeting similar to this a couple months ago where much of this was discussed. And I thought this meeting was going to be from that time to now what have we done to move things around and stuff like that, as opposed to rehashing stuff. And not to, to cut it short, but my sense is that three quarters of the people in this room here have offices and functions in that building over there, and there's not a whole lot of town residents here. So I would suggest, other than the new things, is to move along to the new things, as opposed to trying to justify. I thought the justification somewhat was done, that we couldn't do it. We just weren't quite sure what.
I can only speak for council, so do we.
We are going to talk to cost now, I guess, and then we will move right into that. So, Jim, does anybody have questions for Jim on this?
And last but not least is the police department. And as David said, one of the main things that we're concerned about with the police department is security. If you've ever been in the police department, then you walk in and there's a small lobby there. And we have a receptionist that's got a sheet of glass between her and whoever wants to walk into the police department. That woman has no way of leaving that office without going through that lobby. So if there's somebody who's intending on doing harm, she's trapped in that office. And that office does not have bulletproof glass. So one of the main things that we want to do is make the front entrance as secure as a police station should be, and also the whole rest of the building. The other portion that the police are concerned about is evidence retention. There is a small bay at the far end of the fire station where they keep some of their evidence because there is no room in their facility right now. They want to have all of that material directly under their roof and under their own supervision. And that's one of the things that's going to take place for it. Is there anything you want to add, Chief? Does anybody have any questions on the police department?
Yes, sir. Questions at the closest Fort Fisher Boulevard. So for $1 million, you want to build an evidence room and a secure entrance. I think you did go with you.
No.
Well, much more than any. How many arrests are we actually make? Violent arrests in this town?
Let's save that for the cost discussion. We're going to get to that right now. Yes, Bob.
Bob Houston, Green Beach. I just have one question about, I do realize from 1990 to today, there's been a huge expansion. And I know we're building for the next 25 years. But the expansion, I believe, unless I'm reading wrong, is just about through because there's not more on the whole. We can't possibly grow as much in the next 25 years.
There's 277 lots, correct, yeah. John, still to be built out. So that's 277 more lots where there could be a heart attack and a fire somewhere at the same time. So there's definitely more growth. And you figure some of these old, tiny, old beach cottages are going to get torn down and replaced with behemoths, so we have to be able to respond to that.
I understand. I'm not questioning anything that we're doing. My question is about the future. Yeah. If we're just about expanding out, which I think we are, as far as population and buildings, we can remodel buildings, etc. But when we're building for 25 years out, I think the space that we have, by looking at the site plan, there's not a lot of room for expansion beyond that anyway. Why not build for 40 years out on material cost? And yes, it might cost that much more, but if you put it on a 40 year, schools are built for 50 years, not 20 years or 25 years.
And that doesn't even work.
Unless the population changes. The population here may not change a lot in the next 25 years, like it has the last 25 years.
I understand what you're saying, but I also want to make sure that everybody, when they look at the town hall plan and the police department plan, that is all not new structure.
I understand.
This is renovation and some new rooms added. So it's not like you're going to get 30 different new rooms added to the police department.
Why don't we move into cost? So a big question right now is, show me the money. Yes, sir.
Craig, I'm sorry. I'm thinking maybe there needs to be one additional clarification around. We
know what the annual residence numbers are.
Yes.
But in reality, during the summertime, we are way beyond that. If you think about it, if we populated all the structures that are in this town, which a lot of these are rented structures, and that's when we have our challenges, our biggest challenges, I think, for the police department as well, during the summertime. What would you say the population is when we have all this influx at that time?
We don't have exact numbers. The exact numbers that we do have, we know that there's 850,000 visitors to Fort Fisher. We know there's only one road in and out, and one ferry that handles 35 cars. A lot of people are coming through this town. We know that we have 277 empty lots that we can build on. We know that we have at least that number of small cottages that could become mini motels or whatever you call them. We know that our 2,200 grows to somewhere in the area of, I would say, 12,000 in summertime. I can't verify that number because we don't have an actual count. But we know that the demand on resources is significant more, some 3-4 times more than normal. So as you look at all of those, that's the problem, right? The problem is growth, the problem is the future, the problem is what we have today to meet the needs of our community and of our guests. There's also an opportunity. The opportunity is, of course, that financing right now is relatively low compared to what some of us have experienced in our lifetime. So let's talk about cost. Let's talk about showing the money. If you look at the town hall structure, the first thing I want to tell you is nothing is being thrown away. It is being repurposed. The old fire hall is becoming the new police station to a large extent. Many of the bays are going to be used by the police department and for service by the fire department and public works. So everything here is being repurposed and pretty much expanded. What you're looking at now are estimates. Estimates that came really from the architect, but we have not put out the construction bid. We don't have the final cost. So I want to be quite clear on that. So based on the estimates that we have right now, we would say that we've got approximately $1.9 million in the expansion and repurposing of this building. These buildings, excuse me, which is administration, inspection, finance, police department. I guess that's it. So we've got $1.9 million in that estimate for now. If you go to the next page, and then I'll try to break it down a little differently, and we have Arlen here, who's a real financial genius. For the fire department, is estimated to be in the vicinity of $3 million. Now, $2 million and $3 million, that sounds like a really, really big number. That's $5 million. I don't have $5 million, but there is a way to get at the base of it. Now, it isn't cheap and it isn't free, and what does it mean to us if these numbers are accurate? If these numbers are accurate, I would like you to think that at least some portion of this building, maybe about 12%, would be appropriately charged towards water and sewer and handled differently outside of the normal financial structure. So that's going to bring some of that cost down. But the rest of the cost would look to me, and I want you to think about this in per $100,000. So if you have a $200,000 house, use two times. If you have three, a four, a five, a six, obviously. As we looked at some of these numbers, it'd be helpful if I had the right sheet. You're talking about per $100,000 of value, around $45 a year for $100,000 of value. That broken down per month, if you're a per month person, is $3.75. So I guess we're all going to give up one coffee. That's at the low end of the range. If we go to the high end of the range, you're talking about $50 per $100,000 in taxes. And when you break that down by month, it's $4.16 per $100,000. So these numbers sound big. And I'm not saying that this is a panacea, and I'm not saying that this is easy. But I do want to tell you that I don't think we're in a position where you need to have a lot of fear about the numbers. We will know a lot more. We definitely will know a lot more when we get the construction bids. So trying to put that in perspective, I mean, if you have a $600,000 house, you have to take six times that number. If you have a $200,000 house, two times that number. So you can look at how the impact is on you personally, how it might be on your neighbors personally, but that is, in essence, around where we believe we will be. Is that pretty accurate, Marlon?
Yes.
Any questions on that? So when you say, show me the money, that's the money. Yes, sir.
Mr. Jeff Williams for the 120 Sparks
sure.
Court.
My wife,
Randy. Newbies.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. It looks like the equipment budgets on both projects seem a little bit light to me. I don't know if it seems like when you're outfitting a new fire department, there'd be a lot, you know, $38,000 worth of equipment.
Well, we are talking
new HVAC equipment, ducting, and all that.
Well, a lot of that stuff isn't particularly in that number. And you can see that we also have contingency numbers in each of these estimates. So there are opportunities. The architect told us there are opportunities in the furniture estimates and things like that as well.
Yeah, so Craig, just to add to that, if you look, the way the architects do this, I don't know if you guys have dealt with architects very much, if you look up in the building number, he's saying $250 a square foot. That includes the HVAC and electrical stuff. So the equipment is other specialty equipment.
Gotcha.
So in both of these, both for town hall and for this, if you look at the building, if you go back one, Nancy, first for the first one, you can see building new square footage at 190 and then renovation at 90. So they're assuming for the building that they have to fix stuff in, it's $90 a square foot. And for the building that they're building from scratch, they up that because they got to add all the other stuff in. So when they're talking about equipment down here, this is more the movable equipment, not the stuff that makes the building be a building. Does that make sense?
And when they talk about equipment, that doesn't mean we're throwing away everything that we've got.
Right.
Most of the stuff that's inside the fire station is going to be inside the new fire station. So there won't be that much new purchases, other than if there's a new room and you need another desk to fill that one, obviously you'll buy a desk.
Did we answer your question?
Yes.
Gilbert, I think you had your hand up.
With all respect, first time I heard about this, the fire team had to calm me down.
Okay. Was he successful?
He was very successful.
Good.
He was very professional, and I'm glad he's the fire chief. I noticed you got January 24th, 2017 on that.
Yes.
Sheet of paper.
Yes.
Construction is supposed to start, David, in November of this year. Is that when construction?
Potentially November, October. No,
yeah,
November, December.
We're estimating a November start.
Okay.
Sometime in November.
Okay. A lot of people have apathy because they feel that this is already a done deal and they're not here because they said they have no input. A lot of people told me, I made phone calls today trying to get people here, and they just didn't want to come because they said, it's a done deal. It would have been very nice, you know, when you got these letters, you know, about the Turtle Drive announcement. I love the heart of Fury Beach, and that's the turtles, all the things that we do, the park, the festivals. But it would have been very nice if that January 24th letter came out by February 1st, because that letter's time-wise is further away than construction date. And many of the people that I talked to on the phone today they didn't know about this until last week. There's a lot of apathy in the community, and I think if you do a project instead of being a town hall, it's going to be apathy hall.
Well, I would tell you this, Gilbert. That might be fair. If you look at the timeline, we can put out information. I can't make people read it. We can tell people what's on the agenda. I can't make them come. Well, I wish I could, but I can't.
I went to a fire call about this, and I'm not being naive, but there is no architectural plans in the fire station. There's no architectural plans when I come up here and try to get called on my winter bills. You know, I go unemployed from November to March 1st, and I get called up on my winter bills. There's no architectural drawings on the walls or anything. So I'm just letting you know, a lot of people feel like they've been left out of this process.
Gilbert?
Any one of them that has a question, please feel free to have them call either one of us on council. We'll be happy to take them through it.
Gilbert?
They know the routine.
Okay. Gilbert, you can walk over to the fire station right now, and there's plans. Okay. There's been plans for over a year in that fire station. It's been discussed at practically every Monday night meeting that we have had.
Okay, I've not witnessed that. And now,
I know, you weren't there.
I do care. I'm a less active volunteer.
I understand that, and I totally sympathize with you, and you do great work when you're there. But I'm not responsible for you not going to the meetings and not being aware when all the firemen were sat down and was given information so that they could have their input into how the fire station was going to be built.
I think where we are is we're talking a little more about the community than we are about particular individuals.
I remember Chuck Kinder bringing this up years back, and he says our fire station looks like a garage, and I took offense to that. But that was this political rhetoric, and there's so much out there. I think I said my piece, fellas, and I hope y'all can run with that and listen to that.
Thank you. And please tell anyone who has a question to just contact us. Yes, sir.
In the 16th, December of 2016, they did a survey.
I'm sorry.
There was a survey taken.
Yes.
Town residents.
Yes.
60% of the people said they would not support a tax increase to support these things you were doing. So, what does the survey mean?
The survey does.
There was a survey that said, would you support tax increase to improve the quality? And almost 60% of the people said no, they wouldn't support a tax increase. So what you're saying is what? How do you address that?
I addressed that. Some 400 people did take that. There was 40% of the people who were in favor of it. I don't know exactly.
No, there was 19.3% in favor.
19.3%
and 58.9%. Well,
I would tell you that I'm not familiar with those specific numbers at this point.
Well, there it is.
Well, yes, I'll take a look at it again.
I'm not making it up.
No, I wouldn't accuse you of making it up at all.
That's the town's website.
Yes, that's on the town's website. It's actually, so are these plans on the website.
Yes, I'd say, well, I can tell you my perspective. So, as a commissioner, as an elected official for the town of Cary Beach, our job is to look forward for the town and do what's right for the town for the long term. In that survey that you're talking about, less than 30% of the citizens of Cary Beach participated in the survey.
Well, what's the difference of survey?
Well,
I mean, you could change numbers.
I'm just telling you my perspective, sir.
Sample.
You know,
sample.
You're exactly right. Sample. I said less than 30% of the...
Plus, there's one other thing.
Never mind. I won't answer the question then.
There is one other thing that you should say. Is there's implications if you don't do it, as well as implications if you do. And what you're trying to tell you about is why our department heads believe that this is necessary, and why we think that we have an opportunity at this point in time, and why that we think it is.
No, I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying, what you mentioned, you're talking about a secure entrance to a police station.
Yes.
And an evidence room. That's what you mentioned. Didn't you say that? And that's going to cost $1 million?
No.
That's 1.8 is spread across 5 departments and the entire building, including council. And it's pretty much, if you look at all of the lighter shaded material, that's what we're talking about. Not just a police department for $1 million.
That would make a good email in January.
Yes, ma'am.
My name's Martha Camacho. I live at, about half time, I live at 2304 and East Surf Rider Court. And so there's a couple of ladies that are full-time residents over there, and I'm the one coming in from Durham, and I said, okay, I want to go find out what's going on in here. And they go, well, we don't do too much with that, but let us know what happened. So there's your apathy. Anyway, I'd like to know, because I didn't quite get the math. Am I understanding that it's approximately at the most like $50 per $100,000 a year?
Our estimate is about $50 per $100,000 per year. That's the right math, right?
Yep. Okay, so when I go back to see those ladies, I say, this is what they're talking about increasing, but in Ocean Dunes, it's probably going to
be and if you break it down per month, you could tell it's $3 and
I wanted to know the year. That's right. Okay, that's
so,
all good. Thank you.
Yes, you've had your hand up.
Yeah, I don't even know really where to start. My name is Gary Glossop, 813 Slough Point. Beginning of the presentation, we have all these things we really need for the fire department, but we can't have them because it's too expensive. But it's only going to cost us $38 a month. Don't go both ways with it, first of all. If it's not that expensive, we should not be building for 25 years from now. I mean, quite frankly, looking at a building and saying, oh, it's terrible, it's 25 years old, sounds like the Redskins owner saying, oh, our stadium is 15 years old, we need a new one.
Leave the Redskins out of this.
They're still using the Coliseum in Rome that's a little bit more than 25 years old. And granted, it took a little bit more than $2 million to build it, but still. If you're already saying, we can't afford this, but we really need it, then your planning should be, how can we afford it? Because if we need it, we should be building it now. Because you're right, in the future, it's going to cost more. Record retention. I used to work for Internal Revenue. They don't keep all the paper anymore, and they're federal. They put it on microfiche, and that doesn't take a big room. Actually, they put it on electronic microfiche.
Put it on the cloud right now, probably. Probably put it on the cloud.
No, they don't.
They don't?
No, they don't. It's hard. But, you know, it's like there are ways that you can deal this. It just, I have a problem with the whole concept because, oh, yes, it's out there. You got to go look for it if you want to see it. I found out about this meeting because somebody said, oh, they're having a meeting tomorrow night, but I'm not going to go because they've already made up their mind. I said, what kind of meeting is this? How about the fire department? My son's a firefighter. I'm interested. But if I didn't actually take my effort to go up to, what are they doing now? Because that would be like saying, okay, what are they doing at the cooking mark tomorrow? Let me go look it up. Well, if they want to advertise, they should be advertising so that they're telling me what they're doing. And I would expect that from our public servants as well.
So is that a question?
It's more a bunch of observations. It's like, I'm hearing, we're poor mouthing it because we can't afford what we need, but it's only going to cost you this much.
I'm not sure who's poor mouthing it. You said it costs $5 million. I tried to translate
But there were more than we needed. There's more than we needed. We wanted to put a second floor on so we could have more space for equipment. We're going to store the equipment in the old building, et cetera.
Well, we are trying to be good stewards of the buildings. We are going to reutilize the buildings. We're using what we had and we're adding what we need or what we think we need for the future. So we did go through this with the architects. I mean, actually went through it in an open meeting as to what we needed, what their proposals were. And yes, we took out a second story, but we were able to get everything we needed in one story and save money.
So that's all I heard at the beginning of the thing.
It was two stories. It was two stories, and there were some larger rooms.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, we got what we needed into a larger footprint, but one story.
See, I'm concerned with, I've done the same process before, not with a civil building,
sure,
but with a church. And we came up with this wonderful thing. We want to build a second story. Oh, no, we don't want to build a second story. When we were done, we had a bigger building, but not a single extra classroom, not a single extra office, not a single extra meeting room. It was all bigger, but it's like we missed the whole point. But the architect was smart enough, and it didn't cost 20% more. It was minimally more to put the structures in so that a second floor could be added. And if you don't do it before you put the bids out, if you don't put that in as a requirement, you ain't going to get it.
Well, so I don't know where you built that at, sir, but if you're building a commercial building
Maryland.
This close to the ocean, you will be more than 20% of the cost of the second floor.
It was in Maryland, about 20 miles outside of the District of Columbia.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you.
No regulations compared with what they had in there.
So I encourage you to talk to engineers and architects about the issue you're talking about, but as a professional engineer, you're wrong.
Okay.
So I won't argue a bunch of the other stuff you said, but if you're talking about cost of a building in North Carolina, I will be glad to argue that one, right? And I would say that while we all have different presentation styles, I don't think any of us poor mouth what we did, right? So if it came across that way,
bad choice of words.
Well, that's all right, but that's okay. If that's a perception, if that's a perception, and the affordability issue is in the town of Curie Beach, the history of the town has been that councils do not spend money just willy nilly. The town has not done that for my entire life. Which has been 53 years, the town has put off spending money until they were past the time they should have done it in the history of the town. So that's my perspective of the history of the town. I think that, you know, I agree with Gilbert. I think that the council probably has not done a good job of communicating this process. So I'll own up to that as one of the commissioners. I won't, however, back down from the fact that the council's perspective on what is necessary for the future of the town, we're at a point where this we believe this is necessary, and it's not that we didn't push back against it. Because the fact are is that each of the departments have challenges of space that we cannot solve in the current footprint of the building. And we have significant maintenance issues that we're either going to invest in this old building and use your citizens' money not very well, or we're going to fix all the issues at one time. That's how we got here. So, you know, I don't want people to feel like we're hiding stuff from the community because we've never tried to do that. I will take personally, and I think the rest of the council will take it as an issue that, okay, the citizens that came said, you guys didn't tell us about what you're doing. Even though we'd point out it's in every meeting, the audio is online, the notes are online from the staff, the budget sessions are online, and we have three people come to most of our council meetings. Three or four people, the same three or four people. I don't think very many of them are out here actually right now. So you know, the council has got to a point where We're telling the community, this is what we think is right, and that's what you elected us to do. And we're also telling you, we're not just spending your money to make big Taj Mahals. If you look at the footprint, and you sit down with the department heads and ask them, why do you need this space? They can articulate way better than we can, this is why we need the space, right? And we push back on them initially. So all of the department heads initially ask for more space than the council has got to. The architects initially planned a lot more space than where we got to. I'm sorry, I've got a cold. So I think for the citizens, I would say, you know, we definitely want to hear this. This is an informational meeting. We want you to come to the council meeting tomorrow night and tell us about what you heard. We definitely want to try better. But to say, well, you guys should have planned for 40 years versus 25 years. You got to use a design criteria, and 25 years seem reasonable for the things we know and don't know for Curie Beach, honestly. If you say, well, you're almost built out, the council's answer to that is, well, there's 270 empty lots still in Curie Beach, and the building inspector could tell you about 15 homes a year turn over from a small little cabin to this three-story monstrosity. As Joe called it, right? I wouldn't call it monstrosity, but behemoth, sorry, wrong word. So the growth of the citizenry of Curie Beach in the next 10 or 20 years could be fairly significant. And then if you look at the load on our staffs on what is required, the requirements from state and federal governments for every one of our staffs increases all the time. So you're exactly right. Microfiche may be one answer, but they're going to have some other thing that's going to require us to have, I don't know, some special person working for whatever it is, whether it's turtles or whatever it is, because there's going to be another requirement from the state or federal government. We know that. And then there's the requirements of our citizens. So our citizens, in 1991, we did not have a rec department at all. Now we have, I think, a part-time rec department because, and I wasn't involved in this one, so for the people that don't like the park, we built a park, right? So I wasn't on council when that happened. Previous council did that. I know I was one of the citizens that wasn't very happy about that, but once it's done, so now we got to deal with it. And so those kind of things are going to keep going. We think that the plan we've worked for a year and a half with is the right one for the town, based on everything we know, right? Meeting the federal requirements, meeting the requirements of our citizens, fulfilling the requirements that we have to have for the state, and providing a place that the staff can be efficient and do the town's business. So that's what we're trying to do. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Megan Garrett, 133 Settlers Lane. I was wondering about the cost estimates that you do have for some of the materials like windows or the HVAC system. Was there any requirements for like an energy efficiency on those, or is there a plan for a cost benefit ratio for different types of materials based on long-term cost savings, not just the immediate construction?
I'll let the engineer answer that question for you.
So the architects are making sure we meet the current building code, which does have cost energy efficiency requirements. We discuss LEED requirements, but we decided that in the cost it doesn't really pay off to get LEED certification. But the architects were guided, and that's probably why you see $190 per square foot and $250, I think, for the fire department in there, to take those into account. So as we get into the more formalized bidding and scope setting process, those will be involved. Yes, ma'am. Sir?
I just had two questions. One more of a statement. My cost will be $250 a year, not a big deal. But my taxes were up $200 last year. And every year goes up a little bit. And I don't even know if the $250 is the total increase this year, because there's probably other things that happen. So it might be a $350 increase this year. What I'm trying to say is, eventually the tax is going to become very expensive here, and they already are. And we need to give a lot of thought to how that's affecting things. That's a statement or a question.
I would not agree.
The statement is, you talk about a second story or third, whatever. I would hope, even if it's a 20% increase, 20% of what part of that might only be $40,000. I don't know, because it's going a part of that pie. Get an alternate pad. Have the architect draw it up. It only take him $2,000 to draw up that extra structure. Get an alternate pad. If at the end you find out the cost is only $4.6 million, well, you got the money now.
That's certainly potential. You know, that when we get the construction bids, we'll have a much better idea of the options.
You do it afterwards, you're not getting any.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I understand what you're saying.
You get it before the bids.
That's true, but I'm talking about looking for. I mean, that's a complex question, right? You're talking about a deeper foundation. You're talking about more steel. You're talking about a variety of things.
I understand.
Right?
During the bid process, it's cheaper to do than afterwards. If you ask the contractor for an add or quit, it's not going to be nearly what it would have been on a competitive bid source.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I think we're just talking past each other at that point.
I know.
Right? Before we start, we should know what we want to do.
And what I'm stating is that we should consider paying the architect a few dollars more to add some of these alternates to make them up. into the bid process, and then you'll know the real cost and not the contractor's cost afterwards.
I wrote that down, Craig.
Can I ask that you finish the presentation before you have more questions? I mean, in respect to the people that are presenting, I think these interruptions are not considered, but let them get through the whole story first, then go back to these other issues.
Well, I think we are at the point where we were going to talk about
cost was the last thing.
What is the last thing?
Cost.
Question and answers, relocation stuff.
Okay, I think
what you're interested in relocation.
Well, also, is this last slide? There's other information that you should hold back on too.
Oh, actually not. These are the based on what we know today. This is the detailed information on cost. We've been able to translate that with Arlen's help into what we think the cost could be for $100,000 per household, so that you have an idea of what it takes to move our community forward. There are still things that we haven't worked out. What to do with staff when we start construction. We're looking at offsite trailers, we're looking at using the community center, we're looking at using a variety of things so that we can have a lay down yard, so that we can keep the construction window as small as possible. So there's a lot of discussion in that with our project manager. We have selected the project manager, we have selected the architect, we have not selected the contractor.
One of the things that when we first started talking about it among ourselves, our plan was to have offices open during construction, which meant that open half of the building for day-to-day work and let them work on the other half of the building and then switch out. When we presented that to the project manager and the architect, they looked at us like we had two heads. And they said, they did some figuring, and they said, you empty this building and let the contractor turn them loose on the whole structure, and we can almost guarantee at least 2 months less construction time. And they gave us a ballpark figure, strictly off the top of their head ballpark figure, of about $100,000 savings because of the fact that we would be leaving the structure to have them tear it up and rebuild it without any worry about people being in their offices or townspeople coming in and out to do town business. So that caused us to start looking at the present time. We're looking for what our options are that will meet comfort of the staff, comfort of the citizens, and be as reasonably cost as possible. Because moving also is going to be an additional cost. We need to find out whether that's going to be something worth looking at and how many different options there are available open to us.
Any other questions?
Yeah, regarding relocation. So I'm also a member of the community center committee, and you know we worked very hard to develop a community center that we're pretty proud of. And as a result of that, we have frequent wedding receptions that are held there, and I think many of those people are members of the community that have decided to have their reception here in town. It's a low cost wedding reception. And it's done very well. I've seen some of the setups and it's beautiful. If you use the community center to relocate the offices, that's gone. Now, I don't know about you, my kids are married, okay? But I know that if I made a commitment to have a reception here in August of 2018, and they're out till 2018, okay? And all of a sudden someone says to me, it's no longer available. I'm not the worried bride that all of a sudden now has to say, now what do I do? You know, I banked on that. That seemed to be a sure thing. And now it's no good. We have a barbecue. As a matter of fact, you're welcome to the barbecue this Saturday. We can always relocate a barbecue. That's not the point. But we built up that community center for alternative community activities that happen on a weekly basis and the receptions that I don't think will be able to be covered. And once you put a big gap in time on that, you've lost the momentum, and now people don't even consider it anymore.
Well, all I can tell you, sir, is that's been part of our discussion every time that it has come up, because the one thing we don't want to do is ruin all the good work you guys have done to get it to where it is right now. And all I can say is that the community center is one of our options that we will be looking at. But if we can find something else.
Yeah, and you'd have to also renovate that in order to some degree to modify it. The question that I would have is mobile offices. And I've seen construction projects in hospitals all my life. The bigger chunk you take at one time, the faster it gets done. It may be a big inconvenience, but it's a huge cost saving. And people here are talking about it's costing too much. Here's another point, is let's reduce the cost. It's not, our alternative is to do nothing. I don't think that's an alternative. When people dial 911, they expect to get the fire department to respond.
Yes.
They have million-dollar homes here, and you're talking about peanuts when it comes to that. If they lose a $1 million home, all this $4,500 a year increase means nothing. And when you're behind the scenes trying to train and do all this stuff in crowded quarters, I've been a fireman, okay? It's no fun, yet people do it, and somehow they get to the fire in time and they're trained properly. Don't ask me how they continue to do that type of stuff. So I don't want to take that as an advantage to say, oh, it's easy to just say, don't do anything to the fire department. It's well needed. These other things that were discussed, I think there's maybe some communication issues that maybe have to be worked out. I think we have to move forward, and the longer we wait, the higher the cost goes up, the higher the interest rates go up, and we still have the same problem that we have today.
On your points, we're looking, our community center is a revenue generator. So that's very important. And the work you guys have done and the money you've invested to make it lovely is important. And will be taken into consideration.
And we're also looking at the airbase to get space at the airbase. We're also looking at council, having our council meetings maybe at Carolina Beach. So it's not like there's, yeah, I know.
If we waited for every answer, this meeting would be even later than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a quick question. This would be my last one. This is for Tom Batson. Tom, is the town hoping to have to send out letters to the neighbors like when they start building? My neighbor sent me a letter saying that she was building. My uncle sent me a letter that he was building at his house and her neighbors. Is town hall going to do that?
No, sir.
How can they go?
Different set of regulations.
Really?
Yes, sir. Since because of your proximity to the ocean, those letters are required by Coastal Area Management Act.
Okay, so the neighbors over here don't have to get those, notify the other neighbors for construction on this side?
Yes, sir.
So it's just on the ocean district.
Within 420 feet of the dune line.
Thank you for clarifying that for me.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Craig, I've heard a lot of comments about the town's inability to communicate. The council and the town hall or the guard government inability to communicate with the town. And I'm going to say, in my case, I find that the opposite case. I mean, I became a new resident here again in November. First thing I did was look up on the web, and I found the Greer East Town website. On that website was a link that said, would you like to be part of our email tree, part of our distribution list? I plugged in my name in on that, my information in that, and I get weekly, if not more frequently, emails from Curie Beach saying all of the events that are happening. And inside of all those events are descriptions. It's not just, it starts out with a list and then there's a description of each event. And when it comes to what's going on in the town council, it actually highlights what's going to be discussed to include all of this. So in November, I learned this when I went onto the website and started looking up. So I'm sorry that if you're stuck in the snail mail age, you know, but we as a society need to keep moving forward with everything else in society. So we need to move it toward the electronic age. They, I believe the town even has a Facebook page. I'm not really certain about that because I don't do Facebook, but bottom line is that might be another option. Okay, but you guys have been doing a fantastic job, in my opinion, of communicating what you are doing and relaying information. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
Michelle, I wanted to know about Taylor.
Yes.
Hi, I just have one more question. I'm a numbers person, so how's it going to be collected and over what time period?
I'm sorry?
How's it going to be collected? You know, is it going to be like on the water bill? Is it going to be a separate bill? Is it going to be part of the tax?
No, it'll be in the tax rate.
Okay.
So in every year's budget, it'll be a capital project just like all the other capital projects.
Okay, so it'll be once a year.
So what will happen is once we know the project costs, Arlen will recommend to the council, we have this much in savings, right, that we recommend we put this much towards the project, and then the rest we financed. And there'll be a public hearing to talk about financing because that's required. Mm-hmm. At that time, Arlen will bring, here's the three banks or whatever that is willing to finance the project the town is going on, which is very similar to what's happened with our large public works projects. It's very similar to what happened with the town Oceanfront Park project. Every large project for the town, your money, the state government requires us to talk to you before we spend your money, right? So there's a formal process. There'll be a public hearing to talk to the town's intending to finance. That will be advertised in the Star News and the Iowa Gazette for 2 weeks, Nancy? For 2 weeks. At the public hearing, Arlen will do a presentation on here's how much the final cost of the project is. Here's how much the town is going to take out of the town's general fund if the council directs or if Arlen recommends and the council approves. And then here's how much the town is going to finance for a specific amount of time at a specific interest rate.
Okay. I just was asking for clarification.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. No, all our big projects.
We're talking once a year, so.
That was just a way to try to get it in your mind just what the cost is.
So when you're talking $4,500 for $1 million house, you're not talking all in 1 year.
No, sir.
You're talking spread out. I think
yes, sir.
The conception that all of a sudden people are going to get hit with a $4,500 tax bill.
No, sir. That's what Craig was talking about. He was talking about the top $50 per $100,000. So, like my house, you guys can look up, it's a little under $400,000. So, $200 a year for me and Lisa. Actually, Lisa, right? So I think conceptually, all of our large projects we finance over time, right? All of us bought our houses over time, unless you are a lot more rich than I am. And the town will do that again. And Arlen will guide us. There's guidelines by the state on how long you finance projects for. And I don't know if this is 20 or 25 years. I think you were doing...
No, it's usually a max of 20. At this
right, point. 20 years. Thank you. I could have wrote it.
Any more?
Yes, ma'am.
Again, I live on Settlers Lane, and I was wondering if you anticipate any prolonged road closures on State Avenue or Settlers Lane as part of the construction?
Jim, I got to defer you. I don't think so.
No road closures at all that's expected on K Avenue. And Settlers Lane, likewise.
So, with one caveat. So, we still haven't done all the soil surveys and everything in the corral where the fire department would come. If there's stormwater issues, there could be some redirecting of the ditch that goes underneath Settlers for a short period of time. We would do that in-house on town, so Public Works would do that, and we would try to minimize that as much as possible. You can do that pretty efficiently if you plan it out properly. So I wouldn't plan for any extensive closures, but there could be a 4 or 5 day period where we're working on that ditch if it's required, because we just don't know that yet.
I was going to say, you can communicate with us. Doesn't have to be just here. But Bob, you have one more question you said?
No, I'm going to second motion of closing.
Nice. Okay, right. You're ready.
Do we have any? I don't think we have anything else on the agenda.
We've got one more item on the agenda. Do you're more than welcome to stay, but this portion is done. The item that we have left on the agenda is discuss what our different options are as far as moving people out and where to go and what to do and attach costs and everything. Because we don't have, it's been so recently that's come up that we don't really have a sense of council what their thoughts are.
So why don't we take 5 minutes? Anybody wants to get up, go home and eat dinner? I guess that doesn't include me, but be my guest. And then we're going to reconvene. Back to closing our meeting.
Oh, no. You're missing.
Oh, it's AMC. Don't hesitate. Not only that.
Point of order. Okay. Jim, did you want to lead that? Are you leading that part of the discussion?
I might as well, with the help of our clerk. But as I stated before, the project manager was very strong proponent of emptying out the whole building because of the ability to really speed up the work. And that's why we're hiring the project managers to come up with the things like that. So if in fact it sounds reasonable that we're gonna knock 2 months off and get a significant ding financially, positively for it, we need to look at the different options that we've got available to us. Obviously, we have to move the different functions, and it's where will the different functions fit, where it's not going to be a huge inconvenience to the public who's got to use the services, and it's also going to be a reasonable place to for have somebody to work in for a year. So we're looking at a year. Nancy has already gone over and done research at the community center. She's already gone to the air base and along with Mandy and to see the different options that are available there. And I'll have her tell you more about what she thinks the inside of those two.
We did look at the community center first, cost-wise, proximity-wise. We have 9 staff members in town hall, which is building, finance, recreation, and administration. We could get them in there. It would be a very tight squeeze. We would have to bring in partitions and smaller desks because there's just not that much room. We would have to displace Aikido, who's been there for years, who's a significant source of revenue, line dancing, and yoga, I think, for the regular classes. We don't have any weddings right now other than we have lots of inquiries, but I think June is the one that's actually going to pay for. We are bringing in around $16,000 a year, though, so we would lose some revenue. If this went longer than a year and we were in the community center, we could use 2 years' worth of revenue, $3,000. We would have to do some upgrades for our phone system, some upgrades for internet or IT purposes, and possibly some electrical. We have outlets over there, but whether they can handle all the computers and printers and copiers and so forth, we're not sure. I agree that with David, I hate to stop the momentum. We've done a lot of work over there. Mm-hmm. He's done an excellent job in getting used to the community, getting used to it. We even have a chamber start to use it. If we stop that for a year, it's probably going to take us another year to build it back up. That's number one. We did, Manny and I did go and talk with Katie Powell, who's site director of Fort Fisher Air Force Base. Recreation Center. They do have some trailers. There's single wide, and I think there's one double wide trailer. They're all 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Single wides are very small. Bedrooms are small. We probably couldn't get more than 3, maybe 4 offices in those. They are getting ready to tear down some of those and build up their RV park, and then they have some that just they need work. One that we went in today, the flooring would have to be replaced. Again, we would have to look at upgrades, internet, all this stuff. We don't have a price yet. We know that we have, is it six or eight available maybe. They're not real close. There's one fairly close as you first come in and go to the right reception area that's right there. The other ones are further back towards the pool in the back corner. So they will not be as easy for residents to find. It is outside the limits. One of the things I sort of was hoping to get an idea from you, and I put in my weekly update, is how comfortable are you with staff not being within the city limits of the town. People do like to come to town hall. They like to walk in Wardville and to town hall. The other thing that we've looked at, maybe gotten us some quotes on construction trailers. We've learned a whole lot about construction trailers. They're not as easy as they look. This is one that we're looking at. This is the largest one with Andy.
It's the quad.
The quad. It has 10, 12 by 12 rooms with doors that can be used as offices, a large common area. It comes with HVAC, a small kitchen area, and two restrooms, not furnished. We will most likely have to move all of our files out of town hall because we'll be working in the vault, working in the back room. So we need room for files and storage. This is 2,880 square feet. It would get everybody from town hall in there. The chief has said that they're not comfortable being, for security reasons, being in a trailer. They prefer to be in a brick and mortar building. The chief has been talking with National Guard. Mike, do you want to talk about that a little bit, about another building?
They have a building down here, so the address is 135. It's a very small building. I think we could probably make it work for 12 months if we have to. Dennis used it for a while for his forensics lab, and it's off the beaten, you know, it's not off the beaten path, but it is as far as town goes. I think we could make it work. The military guys down there and girls are, I think they're pro us going there to help with their security some. I think it would just be a twofold deal. And it's, they have a secure, good-sized walk-in locker that is it's a walk-in safe, basically, that has a code. It does have an alarm on it if we need it. Most of my guys are on the road all the time. We have to interview somebody. It has to be interviewed via, we have to use audio and video now. So we would take them to Carolina Beach and do that. So,
is Carolina Beach positive about that? Have you talked to them? They're okay with that or not?
I haven't talked to them, but generally speaking,
they're supportive.
They're always very supportive of whatever we need and what we need to do. So I think it would be pretty easy.
So would you put your admin in this if it was somewhere in town or down there during the day, during the week?
It would. I don't know how much room is in.
There would be space, I think, for an admin office if you wanted them in here, since there are 10 offices and we have 9, plus we have that big common room there. It might be, I mean, if people want to come to the police department, they're going to have a harder time finding it.
Right, exactly, right. But if you had the admin person here, they come for the police, they can talk to them.
Talk to them.
And then during the day, your guys are by there, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
So one concern is, where does the town have property this could go?
Well, the only property we have where this could go is Sandia. Right now, because the three lots at 4th and H are being used as laydown area and parking for the pump station project. I don't know how much longer that is going
to be. That better be wrapping up here in the next 6 weeks or so.
The other thing is we still have a trailer and we still have a boat on that property that needs to be taken off.
Okay.
But in terms of parking, if we put this structure this large, there's not going to be a whole lot of room for parking on that lot, I don't think.
Well, more than Sandman.
Yeah.
Well, Sandman, you've got 4 lots, John, is it 5?
It's a lot more space.
Sandman is?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging any blabbers.
No, I don't care. Yeah, I know. I was just asking, right? So we have two potential places we put this in, right?
What does it cost on this?
Sandman's over half acre.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
38,000.
But Sandman's a little hard to find. This is estimated. We don't have all the costs, but these you have to pay to have them shipped in. You have to pay when you ship them out. They have to be set up, skirting around the bottom, all that kind of stuff. we would need a handicap ramp. They do rent them, but we thought, how much would it
cost? The price was astronomical. It was like $1,000 to set it up, $1,000 to break it down, and then $200 a month just to rent the handicap ramp. And then just to rent stairs was $30 a month. So, it would be just easier to build that.
Plus, we have to hook up water and sewer. We'll have to hook up electric, all that kind of stuff. But I put here at the bottom land rental. We have also looked at the lot next to the convenience store in town.
The Sunoco?
We went with this. There'd be plenty of parking. It's centrally located. It would be easy for people to find it. Or the lot next to Big Daddy's on 3rd, between Big Daddy's and the community center parking lot.
We have community center parking.
We have community center parking and some on-street parking. But those would cost us, I would assume.
Yeah, we'd have to rent them, yeah.
What Sam was convenience store, what we were doing was it $7,500 to meet his taxes. Mm-hmm. I would assume it would be somewhere in that volume. I have not talked to Mike Robinson on the other line.
And a couple ideas that I had just talked to Nancy this evening about was possibility of checking with the air base, the area where they tore out all of their...
All of those homes. Yeah.
They're going to rebuild them, right?
They start design in October. It'll be a year probably before they start construction.
So that's a big
flight. That'd be very close, very open, huge amount.
And it's in town.
And it's also got sewage.
Right on the front road, yeah.
Yeah. And the police would be right behind us.
Or the possibility of moving some equipment out of a few of the bays that we've got and maybe putting a trailer in the bays.
Oh, it's on the fire
pole? Yeah. But the problem, like Nancy, I'm not talking about town hall.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the cops.
Oh, yeah, the police department.
Never mind.
There's a lot of viable opportunities.
But the problem is there's no air conditioning.
Yeah.
We don't need it.
No, we'd take care of it.
Yeah, you would be shorter in your car.
Yeah.
Hey, so Sam Manu could impact the community. There'd be some cost down at Sam's. There'd be some cost with Mike. There'd be some cost with the center. With the recreation center. But, and I, can we support that structure on our three lots over there next to public utilities?
Well, that's what I was looking at, right? So if you put it long ways, so you got 10-foot setback on to the north-south and 20-foot on the back, it's 40 foot by 60. So you got 10, 60, that's 70. So that's 80 feet to the street that way and 40 feet to the street that way.
You could get parking.
Mm-hmm. John, one thing is putting it in the back corner to the northwest on that corner and then set it long ways on those three lots. So that leaves 80 foot to I guess that's H Avenue and 40 feet to 4th Street, if that's right, meeting the 10 and 20-foot setbacks. So, yeah, I think if it fit, we need to know when Sonny's going to be done with his stuff.
Well, their staff is parking on that lot now, too.
Well, I know, so their staff will have to move.
Everybody's have to bear some of the burden.
We'll have to figure out where stuff goes. I agree. I'm not saying it's the perfect answer.
Yeah.
I'm like sort of positive about Sandman in some way, but council's got to work that because we're going to get a bunch of flack.
Oh, yeah, you'll get, I think the people would be, they might, it's a nice piece of land, but people might be upset.
Whatever,
I've
told them we'd park garbage trucks there before we're going to fight now, so I think what we need to do is list out the cost of the options and then the pros and cons so council can set down, just like we've done in a bunch of other decisions, right? Because there's pros and cons and cost. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want community center to be in the list?
I think it should be in the list. You don't think so?
I don't think so.
My preference would be not to use a community center and impact and get revenue from it. We also have spent a lot to clean it up, make it look good. We're finally getting weddings in it. That would be my last choice, personally.
Well, it would give you a place to hold your meetings and the P&Z meetings and the committee meetings.
Yeah, I think would still be the meeting place.
Right.
But we just have to schedule it. So we're still using it as part of this plan because it's going to be where the council meeting is going to be.
There's not going to be any room for
meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it still becomes the council meeting. So Aikido's got one Tuesday night a month when they're going to get impacted, which is fine. For the council meeting, one Tuesday night a month. Council meeting.
Or you could change your schedule.
Yeah. I think I like this idea. I think there's three locations. I think we should look at the three locations, right? The air base, if they're open to us setting it on where they already have, where I haven't even been down there, I guess. I didn't realize they knocked all those houses down already. The issue is we got to make sure it's clear enough you can put a trailer up on. I don't know if they've done that. Is it?
Yeah.
It's gone.
So that'd be one. Wow, I need to drive around a little more. Newton, you can't see it from Newton.
No.
So I think we take that one as one. We take H Avenue by Public Works as one. And we take Sandman as one and then list the pros and cons and the cost. And then council can talk about it. And I think you should reach out to Sonny and ask about the cost. I mean, about the pros and cons for all three of those, because I'm sure there's some public works impacts. We're going to have to get power to it. There's no power to any of those three sites right now, so we're going to have to get...
I don't know if there's water sewer on Sandman. I talked to Sonny today about the other sites, but I didn't ask him about Sandman.
Well, the good thing is he can make water sewer.
Yeah.
It's public works, so...
Well, personally, I think H.I. and it's not really big enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, you have parking for public works and us and then the public.
Doesn't he have a lot on the other side of the building to put a lot of trucks on?
No. It's on.
Yes.
He does have that lot over there.
Yeah.
He can park over there already.
Yeah. In the front, I mean, it's about 100 feet deep, though, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
There's some stuff for there, too.
So, okay.
I think that should be the issue, right? Is okay, one of the negatives is there's a parking issue. We don't know how you solve it, so that's fine. But I think we should explore all three options.
So... Do we need a motion for that since this is an open meeting or something?
Just some general direction. I would maybe want to know, were you okay with staff being outside of the city limits? If we can find that, or if you say no, did that mirrors my
I think you're still, Ocean, the city limits goes past the airbase, so you're still in the city limits.
Talking about the airbase.
I know, but it's
still within the
limits.
There's
Cherry Beach Pass there, so... Yeah. So that those people want to drive up here, our people have to go down there.
So I'm hearing this structure... Pros and cons in three places.
What? How big are Sam's lots, John?
He's got five lots, so four across and one going back.
Yeah, he's got four across. He's got more there than there is at the cross from public.
So I think he should add that one as one, too, even though it's a cost issue.
Some work in that lot.
So it would take another property for a year, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I think we got to weigh all those and see what the cost of the bid is.
That is a con. A con is.
But the plus is it's centrally located.
Yeah.
The con is it's a cluster for parking. So, I mean, I just think we should add it in and then eliminate it. Let it eliminate itself.
Well, and then there's our cost here to move out.
Yes.
Because we're obviously we're not going to use everything we take out of it.
And I'm okay with the chief's idea on what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So,
if he's okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
but he wants to stay home.
Work from home.
All right.
So we're okay if we want to do something like this, rather than try to divide this up into 4 to 6 trailers.
No, I don't like that idea at all.
I think that just makes a lot of sense efficiency wise.
These guys here, I've got another quote out to another company, but all of these units are on a first come first served basis. They're not going to reserve it for me on a whim, or I mean, even with a deposit, she's told me 100 times, and I've tried to go around it 100 times. First come, first serve. They have a triple wide unit that was a perfect layout as well, but there's another person, you know, looking at that one specifically. So this could possibly not be available. We could possibly end up in 2 or 3 trailers, or 2 trailers. I mean, we're gonna have, you know, kind of have to take what's available. There's just no guarantee that.
How far in advance can we reserve it?
I'll be glad for you to start paying for it. As long as you start paying for it, you can reserve it anywhere. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but there's lots of these because I lived in one in Newton for the last little while. So They have everything, so
right,
you'll
right.
find one.
I just didn't
and our general contractor will find it cheaper than you guys will, too.
Yeah.
So once the architects and the project managers are involved, we tell them they'll solve your problem.
Well, this was the recommendation of the project manager.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they'll find you one, and they'll integrate it with their schedule and tell you we got to start paying for it 3 weeks early before we can, so we reserve it. Don't let them work you to death. They should manage that for you.
Well, I just didn't want to present this beautiful little
layout to you. No, we understand it's representative of something, right? Exactly right. Yeah.
Yep, they want to sell it. Okay. All right.
And we do have elections this year, so we told them we have to have town hall available for the 7th.
Oh, yeah, well, needed for that, right. For the elections. Right. Okay. Everybody, you okay with the direction, Nancy?
Yes.
You okay, Chief?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.